From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. More than 29,000 troops have reportedly been wounded as the Iraq War heads into its sixth year. When they come home, these wounded veterans often face mounds of red tape. Then there are the crumbling facilities. Last year, an investigation found that some vets staying at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center were recovering in moldy, rodent-infested rooms. So the White House appointed a bipartisan group to look into the military's entire medical care system. It's known informally as the Dole Shalala Commission. World War II veteran and former Senator Bob Dole was appointed co-chair. He split the role with Donna Shalala, former Health and Human Services Secretary in the Clinton administration. The commission recommended a slate of improvements in veterans care. When we spoke earlier, former Secretary Shalala gave me an update on the report's main findings.
We have world-class medical care for our wounded warriors. From the time they're injured in the field of battle, they can be transported in 48 hours to a major medical center in the United States, either through Germany or directly to the United States, that the problems arise not during that portion of the care, but once they get out of the hospital and have to get their outpatient care, the coordination of the care leaves something to be desired. What they are experiencing is not unlike what Americans experience every day when they try to use the healthcare system. It's fragmented. It seems disorganized. When they finally get to the doctor, they get good attention. If they have to go into an operating room, they get world-class medicine. So the fact that it's disorganized did not surprise me. What did surprise me is that a single payer system, and that is the government paying for it, produced such a disorganized and program that was not seamless.
This commission, bipartisan commission with Bob Dole, got together, produced recommendations. Do you think that any of those recommendations have been implemented?
Yeah, actually, most of them are in the process of being implemented. One of the major recommendations was for those that are severely injured, they need both a recovery plan and a recovery coordinator. The reason for that is that their injuries are so complex that the idea of their families giving up their jobs and giving up their homes and coming out to a major medical center, having to spend the time coordinating their care is simply unacceptable. And so hiring a professional to do that, who's not going to be deployed next month back to Iraq or Afghanistan, is very important to the quality of their care and to their own future. And so the recovery coordinators are being hired, and we've always had care coordinators in the system, but when you have something that's really complex, you need a single person that does all the pieces for you, right until you get the benefits that you're eligible for.
We spoke with Dr. C. Martin Harris of the Cleveland Clinic, who served on your commission, and he also said that one of the things on the table was possibly to extend the Family Medical and Leave Act for caretakers of wounded veterans. Did that go anywhere? Is that in process?
As a matter of fact, that was introduced by a bipartisan group of members of Congress, it certainly passed one house, and I'm not quite sure where it is right now, but I do believe that will be implemented right away. That's not a very complex one, but what was needed more than anything else is making the system very seamless and not depending on family members to do all of the work that a professional healthcare person ought to be doing. And we ought to be paying for that kind of service, particularly for these very complex cases.
This commission came into fruition after reports that returning soldiers weren't getting adequate medical care at Walter Reed. Is there a sense now that the country is moving in a better direction in terms of making veterans a priority?
Yes, but remember, it wasn't that they weren't getting first-class medical care. It was that the facilities, after they left the hospital, that single individuals were placed in were terrible facilities. The famous Building 18, I guess it was, at Walter Reed. Has that been cleaned up? I think the administration moved immediately on Walter Reed. The underlying problem, though, is the fragmentation of the healthcare system and our need to make it seamless. And that includes having a seamless medical record so that when you leave the care of the military and go to the VA, it's a seamless transition for you.
Working with Abdul, who is himself a recovered war vet who had serious injuries that he will carry with him for the rest of his life, what did you learn about what it must be like? Most of us will never be in that position, but what did you learn from working with him or from just doing this work in general?
Well, in addition to Senator Dole, who of course received his injuries, which are life-changing, in World War II, we had two recent veterans of the Iraqi war, both of whom were severely injured, on our panel, and the wife of an injured service member, and another disabled healthcare leader who heads the Washington Rehab Center. So we had a lot of people with real day-to-day expertise. And I'll tell you what we learned. We learned to listen to people who have actually been through the experience in terms of what they needed to recover and what they needed to have successful lives. It was, for me, a remarkable experience because the panel was not made up of the usual suspects who represented major constituencies, but rather of people who had real life experience who could talk about those experiences. And as a result, our recommendations were patient-centered.
What about mental illness? There's been a spike in suicide among veterans. There's been a lot of brain injuries that could affect mood as well as other things. How much did you focus on the mental dimensions of and what did you recommend specifically on that count?
One of our major recommendations, remember we only had six recommendations, we recommended lifetime care for those who have post-traumatic stress disorder, as well, of course, of those that were already covered with TBI, traumatic brain injury. In addition to that, it became very apparent as we listened to both the wounded warriors, their families, as well as the military themselves, that this mental health has taken on a different dimension. This is a war of head injuries. And it's a war in which, for the first time, we are embedding mental health professionals into the units themselves. And we're just at the beginning of learning about all of these things. But I think that the military is as up-to-date as anyone that I know about trying to get out to the field and anticipate and treat as quickly as possible these traumatic experiences.
Now, the president's fiscal year 2009 budget provides $41 billion for veterans' medical care. That's an increase of $2.3 billion from the 2008 budget. Is that enough of an increase to get done some of the many things we've talked about?
Well, let me put it this way. Much of what we recommended required that both the military and the VA do things differently, not necessarily new resources. But some of the things we recommended definitely require new resources. The president has started the process of investing in those resources that are needed. But I'm never going to say we've done enough or we have enough resources dedicated to these brave young men and women.
Now, since you served as a cabinet official during the Clinton administration, you must know intimately what it takes to keep your issues on the agenda. And in an environment like there is today, with an election going on, with the war going on, with the economy, what does it take for someone, you know, whether it's someone who's inside the Bush administration or people who are in Congress, what does it take to keep veterans' health on the agenda in a time when there's so many competing demands?
Well, it obviously takes political leadership. It also takes administrative leadership. And what's impressive is that Secretary Gates and the new Secretary of VA have their deputies meeting on a regular basis to discuss the recommendations and how far they are in the implementation. My own experience is that the bureaucracy, if it's committed, can get more done when the White House and the rest of the political leadership is distracted because there's no interference. And they're not asking you to do all sorts of other things. So that I believe that a combination of these meetings and the White House domestic policy staff literally keeping an eye on every detail really does make a difference. And I believe there has been progress. It's why we wrote a very strategic report, putting most of the pressure on the president. Now, our major recommendations on disability, on changing the disability system, on modernizing it, are not yet getting bipartisan, serious attention from the Congress. And that's in large part because of the politics that are going on at this time.
It's been 5 years since the start of this war. 5 years from now, where would you like to see veterans' health care?
Oh, well, look, I don't think we should take 5 years. I think a year after the election, we should get every single piece in place, including the recommendations on disability. And getting modernizing the disability system is critical. And there's some disagreement among the veterans groups. Some believe that this generation of veterans should not get different benefits than previous generations. I think each generation ought to get better benefits. That's the way I feel about myself. I hope that the new generation gets a better education, has a better opportunity for a future. And that's the way we ought to think about Americans. We ought to want each generation to have better opportunities and better resources so that they can live better lives.
President Shalala, thank you.
You're welcome.
Donna E. Shalala is the president of the University of Miami and the co-chair of the Dole Shalala Commission. She's also the former Health and Human Services Secretary under President Clinton.